This morning, my assignment is very simple. The Lord wants me to speak on a topic which I am sure will bless somebody's life. The title of my message this morning is The Power of Your Problems. The Power of Your Problems. 1 Samuel chapter 9, I'll read from verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 9, I read from verse 9, the power of your problem. The Bible says there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. He's the son of Abiel, son of Zerah, son of Bekorath, son of Appiah, a Benjamite, a man of wealth. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome, note that, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulder upward, he was taller than any of the people. Verse 3, now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son, Saul, take one of the young men with you and arise, go look for the donkeys. And he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha. But they did not find them. And they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then they passed through the land of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they came to the land of Zoar, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us go back, lest my father cease to hear about the donkeys and be anxious about us. But he said to him, behold, there is a man of God in this city. Watch that. And he is a man who is held in honor. Watch that also. All that he says comes through. Watch that. So let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us the way we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but if we go, what can we bring the man? For the bread in our sack is gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? The servant answered and said to Saul, here I have with me a quarter of shekel of silver, and I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he said, come, let us go to the seer, for today's prophet was formerly called a seer. And Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. The Lord blessed the reading of his word in Jesus' name. For the sake of time, if you read further that scripture, you would find that they eventually got to the man of God. And when they got to the man of God, before they got there, God had already spoken to the man of God the day before that Saul was going to come, and here is what is going to happen. When Saul comes, Saul is going to fix a puzzle in the life of the children of Israel. Listen to me, sir, and listen to me, ma. Not every problem of life is from the devil. I'm talking about the power of your problem this morning. Not every problem in life is from the devil. There are problems that are God orchestrated so that you can come into the fullness of his own purpose. Tell your neighbor he's talking to you now. You see, adversity, problems, challenges is part of life, and it is not a respecter of a person. It happens to everyone. You see, as Christians, we always attribute adversity, problems, challenges to sin. Oh, because that person sinned. Oh, because that person committed error. The devil is dealing with him or her. Not necessarily so. The truth of it is that no one is exempted from the problems of life. I've traveled far and near. I have discovered that no one is actually exempted. Tall, short, rich, poor, Asian, African, Caucasian, American, every man, every woman has something they are dealing with. No wonder Isaiah said to us in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, he says, when you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. Which means a day is going to come in your life that you are going to walk through it. Are you with me? Follow me this morning. You see, everybody goes through adversity. And whatever you are going through now is not just peculiar to you. Whatever you are dealing with now, somebody else has dealt with it before. When you are done with your own, somebody else is going to go through it. So really, the truth, if the truth be said, there's no big deal in what you are dealing with. Every problem is packaged with you in mind, but with an end also in mind. But I discovered also that every problem and everything you are dealing with is a wisdom problem. Tell somebody it's a wisdom problem. Every time something goes wrong, check, it's a problem of wisdom. Every time things does not work the way it's meant to work, it's a wisdom problem. And that's why I pray for somebody this morning that God will release uncommon wisdom to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. You see, when a problem is handled right, when a problem is dealt with well, with the right attitude and perspective, that problem ultimately becomes a great asset to you. It ultimately becomes what? A great asset to you. You see, to achieve greatness, you must first understand the necessity of problems. To become great, to become relevant, to become celebrated, to become an influence. Listen to me, child of God. You must understand the necessity of problems. It's important you understand it for you to be. And that is why if your problem, whatever you are dealing with, pushes you towards bitterness, if whatever you are dealing with makes you become vengeful, if your problem pushes you to hatred and to retaliation, can I say this to you? The enemy already got you. If your problem makes you critical, and I'm talking about that in a minute, it means that the enemy already got you. I don't have a job. I don't have a home. I'm dealing with issues in my family. I'm trusting God for the fruit of the womb. The bank account is not as buoyant as I thought, and it causes you to become bitter. It causes you to draw back. He makes you feel as though God is your enemy. May I say this to you? It's because the enemy got you. May the enemy never get you. In the mighty name of Jesus. You see, when I gave my life to Christ, by the grace of God, I gave my life to Christ 7th of July, 1987. Are you listening to me? When I gave my life to Christ, I realized something, that God used my situation, the adversity I was dealing with, to understand God a bit better. I grew up in what you would call the Church of England, the Protestant or the Anglican Communion. So by rule, when we pray by the liturgy. Anyone listening to me? But when I got born again, they taught me that there's a better way to pray, because the Holy Spirit helps me to pray in tongues. My mother must not see me pray in tongues. And so whenever I want to pray, I lay on my bed with my mouth closed, my eyes open, I'm praying internally. Are you listening to me? Communicating, but at the same time, the woman watching me didn't get it. That situation I find myself taught me to pray and yet keep focus. Are you listening to me? Every situation you find yourself, every challenge, every problem has something packaged in it for you. Ability to pray silently without notice. And you see, when you are dealing with whatever you are dealing with, because I've searched around and I discover that everyone is dealing with something. Sir, don't let anybody kid you. There's nothing special about your own issue. I'm dealing with mine. Let no one kid you, sir. Because you stood up and you shared a testimony today, is because it's your turn. My turn is coming soon. Let me tell your neighbor, your turn is coming soon. Oh, you didn't hear me. Tell your neighbor, it's going to be your turn to testify soon. You may not have testified about that child now. You may not have testified about that job now. It may seem as if everything around you, there is no hope around it. Listen, the guy who celebrated yesterday, it was his own turn. My turn is coming soon. It's coming soon. And so whilst I'm waiting for it, whilst I'm in this issue, there are two things I want you as a child of God to note very quickly. When you are dealing with your issues, when you are in your problem, when there are challenges around you, number one thing, note this very well. Very, very well. Two things that will not help you whilst you are in that issue. Because every problem is a wisdom problem. Note that. Every problem is what? A wisdom problem. Number one thing that will not help you as you are dealing with the issue is that never, ever have a critical spirit. Tell somebody a critical spirit. Never have a critical spirit. A couple, always critical of things, of issues, of people, of places, wherever they find themselves, very critical of it. And you wonder why? Because of their last experience, because of the issues they are dealing with, because of how life has dealt with them, so they became so critical. And guess what happened? Because they became so critical, they eventually move from place to place. It's so interesting when my brother was speaking to the leaders this morning, I didn't share my note with him, and he was talking about moving, staying where you are. Listen to me, they keep moving. They move from city to city. They move from friends to friend. They move from church to church. They were never planted. And each time you become critical, you will commit error. Are you listening to me? They keep moving. Yet the word of God tells us in Psalms 1, he says that a believer will be like the tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. Not that. He says its leaves will not wither, and then everything he or she does will prosper. Tell somebody, be planted. You didn't hear me. Tell somebody, be planted. I'm going to give you a serious illustration, and I hope it's going to bless somebody. Listen to me. Imagine this is a tree. I'm talking about the power of your problem. I don't know what you are dealing with. I'm dealing with mine. As you are trusting God for yours, I'm trusting God for mine. Are you listening to me? Listen, this is a tree. This tree is planted here. If for any reason this tree wakes up, or whoever plants this tree says, I don't like it here anymore, he uproots it and he brings it here. Are you watching me? And then few days later, he says, I don't like it there, he uproots it again and plants it here. Guess what would happen? It's a matter of time this tree will die. Do you agree with me? Why? Because it did not bear fruit down. And because it never brought fruit down, it cannot get nutrient down. Tell your neighbor one more time, be planted. So while you are dealing with whatever you are dealing with, please, don't be critical. Trust God to give you a clean heart. And critical to people in places and in situations. Number two, the second thing that I quickly want to say before I go further is that listen, when you are dealing with whatever you are dealing with and in the places that you find yourself, please redeem your vow. I had this one over the night and I quickly took out my note. God says, review your vow. Tell somebody, redeem your vows. One of the things that I have discovered that has kept people longer, are you listening to me? In their challenges and in the issues of life, is vows that are not redeemed. Let me reverse. One of the quickest ways to come out of your challenge is to make a vow to the Lord. Jephthah said to the Lord, if you will give me victory over this people, guess what would happen? Whatever I see first, I release to you. Tell somebody it's wisdom. Every problem is a wisdom problem. So Mary, or let's come to the mother of Samuel, Hannah. Anna prayed and prayed and fasted, but nothing happened. Then one day, Anna got a revelation. You know what? God, you need a prophet. I need a son. You give me a son, guess what is going to happen? I'll give you a prophet. God says, now she's speaking. And so she made a vow to the Lord. God will always honor his own part of the bargain. The question is, will you honor yours? Somebody in this room, I don't know who you are. When you were leaving your country, you told God, you said, God, please give me the visa or help me to move. When I get here, you will know I came. I will preach, I will serve, I'll be faithful, I'll be effective all around. I will do the work of the ministry. I will preach like no man's business. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants me to remind that person, I don't know who you are. God said, I fulfill my part of the bargain. But the same thing I blessed you with has become the reason why you have not served me now. Because every now and again, you are able to say to God, Lord, you should understand I have to be at work. Lord, you should understand, Lord, I've got children now. Lord, you should understand this and this. Excuses has taken many off God's tangent and has prolonged the days of suffering for many. Do I have you in the room? Your vow. I have discovered that nothing attracts God's grace and power to you like your problems. Nothing attracts the grace of God, the power of God to you, like the problem, like the things you are dealing with. That's why they say anointing does what? It destructs the yoke. You see, there is no yoke, no anointing. You want anointing? Ask God to give you a yoke. And it's not that we don't have the yoke. We have things we are dealing with. It's just that many people, we have not tapped into the grace of the anointing that God has released unto us. You see, only those who respond very well to their problems benefit from it. Your problem is packaged to be a blessing to you. Should I say that again? Whatever you are dealing with is meant to work together for your good. I don't have a job now. It's meant to work together for your good. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to spend more time and praying and interceding and building yourself, because there are certain things, listen to me, life is a test. If you fail this, it will not take you to the next level. There are things believers are asking for daily that God is saying, you know what, if I give them to you now, it will destroy you. And so he will not do that. So God takes time to mature us by the things he allowed us to go through. Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things he did what? He suffered. There is something God wants to teach you. That's why he's allowing some things to prolong in your life. You see, when you are solving your problem, you are more interested in the problem being solved. But God is interested in your own discipline and your character development. So if your problem did not teach you anything, one may stay longer in it. Whatever you are dealing with, what is it teaching you? Whatever you are going through, child of God, what is teaching you? Because here is the challenge. When many people are going through these issues or going through these challenges, what you would find is that the adversary has a way of alienating people. And so they stop serving God. They stop coming to church. They stop doing fellowship. They stop sowing. Have you ever wondered why scripture was challenging and encouraging us? It says, don't be weary. Don't be tired in what? In doing good. If you do not faint, because there is always that tendency to faint in your problem. If you do not faint, God is a rewarder. Tell your neighbor one more time, he's talking to you. I felt the Lord wanting me to speak to someone today. And so when you go back to the scripture that we read as I begin to round this up, talking about the power of your problem. The scripture we read, our text in 1 Samuel chapter 9 from verse 1, they introduced a young man to us there. Father was so wealthy, but the father lost one house and sent him out with a servant to go look for it. And so this young man went. He searched everywhere and he couldn't find it, just like you and I. Everybody is looking for something. Something that is missing. If I ask you today, what you are looking for is not what your neighbor is looking for, but everybody is looking for something. And I pray for you that you will find your own. You didn't hear me. I don't know whatever you are looking for, but I pray for you today, you will find it in Jesus' name. Somebody is looking for relevance. Somebody is looking for a job. Somebody is looking for a child. Somebody wants a husband. Somebody wants immigration settlement. Whatever it is you are looking for, in the name that is above every name, under this altar of Wisdom Assembly, you will find it. In the name of Jesus. I speak. speak like one that is sent today, there is three people under the sound of my voice. Before December 2017, there's something precious to you. They told you you have to wait till next year. But I speak under the unction of God right now. Before 31st of December, you receive your own. Amen. I say you will receive it. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Saul went to town looking for what was missing. But what he didn't understand was that God was also looking for him. God was waiting for him. God spoke to the prophet. And you see, let me say this to you, child of God. Your prophet is the compass of your life. Did you hear that? And so they had gone all around looking, but they didn't find. And the young boy said, hello, let's check the compass. Let's speak to a prophet. There's a prophet down the road. Let's go see him. The man said to him, he said, we can't go to the prophet empty. Because in those days, when you go see a prophet, you go with a gift. And you know, life, you see, these are little things that the church needs to understand now. That even as you commune with your prophet, are you listening to me? Understand the power of exchange. Tell somebody the power of exchange. There's something about your gift. Your gift can make way for you. Anyone with me? And so they went. He said, don't worry, I've got something. We will go to the prophet. They got to the prophet. By the time they got to the prophet said to them, you know what? Before you came, God has already spoken to me because you are going to be the king of this land. Seven things I want you to understand about the benefit of your prophet, and I close with that. Number one. And sir, whether what you are dealing with is spiritual or it is material, whether it is emotional or financial, whatever you are dealing with carries many benefits. For time, we'll look at seven if the Lord permits. The first thing that you will read and you will find in this scripture is that I told you before that every problem is a wisdom what? It's a problem of wisdom. That gentleman or that woman that is at loggerheads with her husband or his wife is a wisdom issue. That business that is not thriving is a wisdom problem. That child that seems wayward at the moment is a wisdom problem. The Lord give you wisdom to deal with it in Jesus' name. And so seven things comes along. Number one, in your problem, your problem comes along with the benefit of receiving more grace from God. The benefit of receiving more grace from God. A problem will break your pride and give you grace. More grace from God. So he went to the prophet. He received grace over there. Number two benefits, the benefit of self-examination. Your problem brings you to a place of self-examination. What did I do wrong? Why is this happening? Why am I here? It will amaze you that many people will never ask that question until they are confronted with the problem. Self-examination. And listen to me, child of God. There are things God will do for you. But there are things God will want you to do. If you will not do what you need to do, you will delay the things that God wants to do. I always share this story everywhere I go. There's nothing God is going to give to you. God will ensure that you mature to it before God will release it to you. If I take seven of those, my children there, from the age of 5 to 10, seven of them, and they all come together, and they begin to fast and pray. Fast and pray. Fast and pray for 7 days. And the content or the purpose of their fasting is that God will touch the heart of pastor to release his car key for them so that they can drive from here to the city center. Do you know God will never answer that prayer? Do you agree? Do you know why? Because yes, they may have rights, birth rights to everything that pastor has because they are pastor's children. They are your children. But they don't have a growth right. Tell somebody a growth right. So your problem should bring you to a place where it brings self-examination and you can grow up. Tell somebody you can grow up with God. Remember, if your problem takes you out of church or makes you critical, the enemy already got you. Number three, your problem should bring you, or it comes with a benefit of new revelations. Tell somebody new revelation. You see, when you are dealing with what you are dealing with, there it brings you to a place of prayer and the study of the word. There are some portions of the scripture that will never come alive to you except you are dealing with that issue. It will not come alive to you. And that's why when you are dealing with whatever you are dealing with, it's the good time to soak yourself in the word. What is the Lord saying concerning my situation? What is God saying? What's the word of God saying concerning this circumstance? Stop sending money home to ask them to pray for you. They are not praying. You didn't hear me? Stop calling them to say, please pray for me. You can pray by yourself. He gave you 2 nails so that you can kneel down, so that you can talk to him. Call unto me, I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know about. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Whilst you are slavering and sending the money, they are using the money to buy Milo and bread. Your problem should bring you to a place where you come on your knees. You fall on your knees before your maker. You study the word and the word of God comes alive. There are things God wants to tell you. But for the benefit of growing in the faith. You see, problems are opportunities for us to learn to trust God. Problems are to mature us. It helps us to trust God more than before. 2 years ago, and pastor will tell you, my brother will tell you, was one of the most trying times of my life and my family. It was like the whole of hell was loosed against my household. Unbelievable. But you know what? During that period, sir, I learned to pray better. I learned to seek God for myself. Listen, there's a difference between it is well and it is well. I've been there. And you say, that's what I'm saying to you. Wherever you are now, it's a good place. Search God for you. Seek him when you can find him. Don't prolong the days of this pain. Whatever you are dealing with now, sir, is a test. Don't fail it again. If you pass it, I can guarantee you, promotion awaits you. Wherever we are now in Wisdom Assembly, listen to me. God has tested us in many ways. Tested commitment, tested faithfulness, tested loyalty. That's why we're here today. But I can assure you, if only you can see what God is seeing for tomorrow, you will give him a quality praise. You see, when you are dealing with what you are dealing with, the 15, is that your problem will reveal your mockers and your helpers. Saul was there with the young boy. He never knew that was his help. There are people in your life, once you begin to go through what you are going through, you will know who they are. Some people don't have businesses in your life anymore. They are prolonging the problem. And yet there are people in your life today that you have looked down on. It's time to begin to look in their direction. Are you listening to me? Destiny helpers that God has placed around you. He helps you to refocus. He helps you to strategize. That's what your problem is able to do. The young man said to him, there's a prophet down the city. Let's go see the prophet. Do you also know the reason why God placed prophets in your life? I tell people around me, ma, why do I need to walk? when I can be carried. Somebody say, I will carry you. Why do I need to begin to struggle to walk? God placed prophets in our life for two reasons. To hear from God and tell me. To hear from me and tell God. If you are not engaging your prophet, it is not because there is no anointing. He says, let's go to the prophet. And they went to the prophet. Before they got to the prophet. Can I say to you, does it occur to you that before you go to this church, there's something about you that God told your pastor? Before they got there. So we live in a world now that everybody just want to come to church. I don't want anybody to know me. And then we'll come and we go. And then when issues have compounded so much, and then we lay it down. Tell somebody there's help in the house. Let me tell somebody there's help in the house. It brings us also to the place, the benefit of gratitude. It creates this attitude of gratitude in our heart. Your problem, my problem. It brings us to a place where we become more grateful. When you see somebody that God is blessing, you are grateful for them. When you see someone who is going through issues, you can empathize with them also. You see, many people, the reason why they don't empathize with people, there's no more compassion either for God or compassion in the house or compassion for anybody, is because they have forgotten what they went through. You don't understand? They have forgotten what they went through. I know where I'm coming from. I know what God saved me from. I know where He took me from. So it's very easy for me to empathize when I see people going through things. It is not difficult. You just heard now that my brother is going to Uganda. God knew where God took him from. He knew. He came from Mushi. And God turned him around and made him who he is today. So it's easy for him to go to Uganda. Anyone listening to me? To say what? I also want to give back. That is the power of your problem. Your problem brings you to a place where you can empathize with others. It's not difficult to release. It's easy to give. It's easy to be a blessing. It's always looking for an opportunity to say, what God saved me from. Nobody will go through it. He told Peter, Satan desired to sift you, to have you and to sift you like wheat. But when you are come, I prayed for you that your sin, that you will not be moved. However, when you are converted, do what? Go and strengthen your brother. In the things that God has saved you from, in the places God has delivered you from the things God has reshaped you from, how many people have you strengthened? How many people will wake up this morning and will say, God bless that family for what they've done in my life? God's provision for you is not for you. It's so that in turn you can become a blessing. Tell somebody who's talking to you now. A place of gratitude. Because I discovered that when you become grateful, God releases another level of greatness unto you. Finally, your problem brings you to a place of assignment. Your problem does what? Sir, ma, everything you are dealing with, everything you have dealt with, everything you will ever deal with is preparing you and I for an assignment. It's preparing you for somewhere. Saul was looking for something missing. He didn't understand that God was preparing a throne for him. Your problem leads you to the place of assignment. As I close this morning, I felt in my spirit, God says, wherever we all came from, He brought you here to the place of assignment. And listen to me, that's my assignment today. Whatever and however we came here to United States is because God has wired you for assignment. And until you find yourself in your assignment, you can't find relevance. When there is no relevance, there is no fulfillment. Anyone listening to me? Tell somebody my place of assignment. God brought you to your place of assignment. And that's why as I close this morning, I want us to do something together. Because God said this to me. He says, son, tell them the way I said it to you. And I will glorify my word. So what I'm about to say to you now is not what I'm saying. Remember where I started from. In this kingdom, the currency is worth. If you can make an exchange with the word of God this morning, I can guarantee you one thing. If Jesus tarry, next Thanksgiving, I will be here. And when I see you, you will be the one to run to me, not me. To say, Pastor, what you said last year has come to pass. And so when I said faith, this is the period I need you to build faith. Everything I've said to prepare you for this moment I'm at now. Let nobody deceive you. God is a good businessman. Something must change from you for something to move with him. And please don't go on me. Don't think I want to talk about money. No, there's something more precious than money. Watch this. The biggest gift God has given to you in life, the biggest, is you. If God can have you, God has everything. Do you understand me? As I was coming, he told me clearly. He says, raise a disciple for me. What did I say? Raise a disciple for me. And who are those disciples that God is talking about? Men and women who understood that they have been sent on assignment. Men and women who understood that their problem has taken them this far, wherever they have gone through, whatever you have gone through, whatever you've dealt with in life has brought you to an assignment. And you want to say with me, Pastor, I will stand in gap with this assembly from today as a disciple. A disciple in my time. I'll give my time from today. I'll give my talents from today. I can sing, I can dance, I can welcome, I can work, I can go and evangelize. I can just support. There's something I can do better than somebody else. I'm ready to offer it at the altar of the Lord. And somebody who will say, God, I will also trade my resource, my money. God asked me to raise those disciples. And listen to me, some of you may already be. This morning is a morning of rededication. For he told me also, he said, some of you need to up your game. You are one of those people I'm going to ask you to come. It's not a close your eyes meeting. God wants to identify with you. And you are saying, Lord, you've brought me to the place of assignment. And I recognize and I understand it. This morning I will pray with you. Please come. I need somebody on the keyboard. Please. Please, I need somebody on the keyboard. Now, please, I want you to come. And all you are saying is, I want to give my life. I want to give my time. I want to give my resource. I want to give my talents to the Lord. I'm going to be asking you to come now. Please come. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at anybody. Just come. Just come. The days are gone. Listen to me, child of God. Those days are gone when you will just walk in. God has an assignment for somebody. God has something for someone in the house. Just come. Please, just come. It's okay. Just come. You know where you are at with the Lord. Today you are saying, Lord, I'm enlisting. I am now a worker. I want to be part of this movement. There's a movement that in another 2-3 years, somebody is going to look back and say, really? Can this really happen? There's somebody I'm still waiting for. I'm about to pray. Someone on the keyboard, please pray. Come, come. I'm still waiting. Somebody is saying, I need to be here, but you are struggling. Don't struggle. Just come. Yes, God bless you. Just come. Just come. We will pray. We will pray. Just come. Just come. You are saying, I'm giving my time. I'm giving my talent. I'm giving my resources to God. From today, God brought you here, there is going to be a shift this morning in the mighty name of the Lord. The backbone of that issue, God says, I will break it readily again in the name of the Lord. If you are already in front, I'm going to ask you, just lay your hands on your heart. That's the best thing God wants to touch. And just tell him, Lord God, receive me. Sir, somebody else is still there. And I'm just going to count to three. I don't know who you are. But there's a struggle in your heart. Should I? Should I not? Should I not? Please come now. God bless you as you do. One. Yes. Two. I don't know who you are. Yes, God bless you. Two. Please tell him, Lord, I give my heart to you. I give it totally to you from today. I'm about to do something unusual. I give my heart, I give my life, I give everything, Lord, to you today. I'm part of this movement from this morning, this unstoppable movement. I grew up working with my pastor. He turned and he transformed our life by his visions. We are a product of what God did and is still doing in his life. Your own story is about to change for good. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we want to thank you, God. Jesus. There is a movement this morning, Lord God, for which all of us here are part of. And Lord, you know all of these ones. Some of them are rededicating themselves. But some are just stepping up to say, Lord, you can trust me. And we ask in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus that your spirit will rest upon every one of them. That from this moment henceforth, God, let their gifts, yes, let it speak for them. Father, Lord, from this moment we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that through this ones, O God, and with them, a revolution will begin. A revolution will begin. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For everyone else under the sound of my voice, Lord, we thank you. I know you are working out and you are working with men, that you will reach out to everyone in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, and you will prepare hearts and minds for your glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And those of you who are in front, I want you to look in the direction of my Father. Told you in a year, if Jesus tarry, we will be back here. And I want you to make a commitment. And your commitment is very simple. You will work with him. And you will serve as he serves the Lord. Sir, I did not do this just because I want to. But the Lord says to raise an army. And I trust God that with all of these ones and with the many that God will raise, a revolution just started, sir. In the mighty name of Jesus. Please don't be in a hurry after the service. I want you to just get your details together for pastor. Are you with me? Something new has started with you. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. You may please go to your seats. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.